tickets, please? Follow me.
Welcome to an online encore presentation of Carnegie Hall Live, produced in cooperation with WQXR and American Public Media. I'm Jeff Spurgeon.
And I'm Fred Child. The Orchestre Révolutionnaire et Romantique, the Monteverdi Choir, and their music director and conductor, John Elliott Gardner, filled the stage here at Carnegie Hall to perform a rarely heard masterpiece by Beethoven, his Missa Solemnis.
And Maestro Gardner told us why this work by the great composer is not performed very often.
I find it very, very difficult, and the orchestra and the chorus find it difficult, but it's kind of manageable if you approach it, I think, in a different, unconventional way. If you don't think of it, first of all, as church music, and you see it more of as a kind of personal credo of Beethoven's at a very difficult juncture in his life.
Maestro John Elliott Gardner. And a reminder that you can hear this and many of our other concerts from the Carnegie Hall Live Series at WQXR.org.
There are four solo vocalists on this program: soprano Elizabeth Meister, mezzo-soprano Jennifer Johnston, tenor Michael Spires, and bass Matthew Rose. The four soloists, the Orchestre Révolutionnaire et Romantique, and the Monteverdi Choir with John Elliott Gardner on stage now to perform Beethoven's Missa Solemnis from Carnegie Hall Live.
Thank you. Thank you. Music of Beethoven. On the score to his Missa Solemnis, he wrote to his patron and the man really for whom it was written. From the heart, may it return to the heart. An expression of religious feeling, religious devotion. And as in all of Beethoven's great works, an expression that sums up so much of what life allows us to experience. You've just heard Sir John Eliot Gardner conduct his Orchestre Révolutionnaire et Romantique and his Monteverdi Choir, and four terrific vocal soloists: soprano Elizabeth Meister, mezzo-soprano Jennifer Johnston, tenor Michael Spires, and bass Matthew Rose in the Missa Solemnis. A broadcast coming to you from Carnegie Hall Live, a collaboration of WQXR, American Public Media, and Carnegie Hall. I'm Jeff Spurgeon. My co-host Fred Child is alongside. I'm backstage at Carnegie Hall, where Sir John Eliot has stepped off stage for a moment to towel off, grab a glass of water, and go back for another ovation from this Carnegie Hall crowd.
Beethoven's Missa Solemnis, like any full setting of the Latin text of the Mass, ending with the words Dona Nobis Pacem, or Grant Us Peace. Beethoven's triumphant setting for full orchestra and chorus sounds almost like a command rather than a humble prayer. Dona Nobis Pacem, grant us peace. John Eliot Gardner now back on stage and bows for our four vocal soloists, Elizabeth Meister, Jennifer Johnston, Michael Spires, and Matthew Rose. And John Eliot Gardner now walking in among the members of his ORR, the Orchestre Révolutionnaire et Romantique, shaking hands, pulling up particular members of the ensemble for bows. Peter Hansen is the concertmaster, the first violinist. He played that remarkable, beautiful violin solo in the fourth section. And now the Monteverdi Choir on their feet at the command of John Eliot Gardner and getting a great shout from this full house here at Carnegie Hall.
We asked at the top of the broadcast how many singers it sounded like are in the Monteverdi Choir. We can tell you that there are 36. Sitting in the hall, it sounds like twice that number. The singers are so brilliant, so focused, and when they need to be, so loud. They project a powerful sound, and yet the group is not that large. You just imagine there were more of them listening to them sing.
The Missa Solemnis by Beethoven, a piece all too rarely performed, especially compared to other great works by Beethoven, not rarely performed because of any lack of depth or emotional power or drama in the music itself. But as conductor John Eliot Gardner said at the beginning of our broadcast, it's simply too difficult for many ensembles. But the challenge is overcome in that thrilling performance live from Carnegie Hall in New York City. And John Eliot Gardner back on stage a third time, and asking the Monteverdi Choir to take their feet once again. The women first, who got a nice shout, then the men of the Monteverdi Choir. Ah, and now the lower strings getting a bow. The violas and cellos getting their own bow. The brass section, the horns and trombones getting a bow as well. A special bow for the contrabassoonist, a very difficult part for the contrabassoon in the Missa Solemnis by Beethoven.
It's one of those parts where you have to show up on time and ready, and the rest of the time you sit there waiting and hoping it'll work out for you. But they do it. Another of the things that makes, I think, these performances so challenging is that Gardner places the instrumentalists at extremes. He has one brass section at one side of the house, another brass section on the other side of the stage. Much harder to play together when they're spread apart like that. But these players, they are just in tune with this conductor, and they do it.
And speaking of being in tune, we had a couple of moments during the performance when these delicate instruments, these period instruments of the Orchestre Révolutionnaire Romantique, met with the cold, late autumn, dry New York City air. And Maestro John Eliot Gardner actually stopped the orchestra between a couple of sections of that performance of Beethoven's Missa Solemnis, retuned just to make sure as we went from section to section. And then right before the final section of the piece, there was a pause while John Eliot Gardner actually pulled out a hanky and Wiped a little bit of sweat from his brow, and he picked up a big bottle of water that was right at his feet at the podium, took a big swig from the water bottle before launching into that final section of the Missa Solemnis. And this applause, Jeff, just going on and on and
the
on.
Crowd, the crowd is on its feet here at Carnegie Hall, and so were the vocal soloists a moment ago, and now the Monteverdi Choir. Another big cheer coming up for this ensemble, which is in its 48th season, started by John Elliott Gardner almost a half century ago. It's remarkable, their record. And they replenished their numbers through a wonderful apprenticeship system that began a few years ago, in which young singers have a chance to spend some time with mentors in the chorus. And now the program's actually been extended to the orchestra a bit. So some young, exceptional students have a chance to see what the professional musical world is like and decide if it's for them or not. And Sir John Elliott told me the other day that that program is working out very, very well. This is Carnegie Hall Live, a broadcast coming to you from New York and being heard around the world, as we are learning from the Twitter conversation that is still on at hashtag CHLive. It's a wonderful evening. We now have the choir, the women in white jackets, many of them, and the men in tuxedos coming off the stage, along with the members of Orchestre Révolutionnaire et Romantique. And we are anticipating a chance to talk to Sir John Elliott in a few minutes, though he does make it a custom to greet many of the musicians as they walk off the stage.
Carnegie Hall Live is supported by The Gathering Ireland 2013, a celebration of Irish music, culture, and more, designed for those interested in uncovering their roots, renewing a love of Ireland, or discovering it for the first time. DiscoverIreland.com. Carnegie Hall Live is supported by Macy's, who applaud Carnegie Hall for another season of distinctive performances. We just heard this Missa Solemnis by Beethoven from Carnegie Hall Live. Beethoven was born a Catholic, although as an adult he was not a regular at Sunday services. He believed in an almost pantheistic God whose presence pervades the world, and especially the world of nature. And Beethoven had even done some reading in Eastern religions, and he settled on a kind of Catholicism that focused on the individual, a kind of interior spirituality. There's a wonderful portrait of Beethoven that was painted in 1824, one of the famous images of Beethoven, and he's actually holding the music for Missa Solemnis. He's holding a pencil right over the music paper, kind of a stern expression, almost challenging expression on his face. His salt and pepper hair is unkempt. It looks windblown. And in this painting, Beethoven is standing not in a traditional sacred setting, as many composers might have chosen if they were holding the music for a mass in their hands. Beethoven is standing in front of dark woods, these twisted trees, this greenery. It suggests a kind of nature-centric, earthy spirituality on the part of Beethoven. One man in nature and of nature. Beethoven in that portrait, holding the piece, holding the music for the piece that we just heard, his Missa Solemnis. I'm Fred Child in the broadcast booth here at Carnegie Hall. My co-host, Jeff Spurgeon, is right backstage.
And right with me is Sir John Elliott Gardner, who has come off stage, toweled off. He's going to get comfortable here in a minute. We're going to have just a brief chat as this performance is concluded about the Missa Solemnis and a couple of the things that are implied in this piece. Sir John Elliott, it is a privilege always to talk to you. We got a chance to speak to you before the performance, and you're very gracious to talk to us now at the conclusion of this work. I wanted to ask you about something that Beethoven said about this piece. Beethoven wrote that his primary goal in composing this work was to awaken and permanently instill religious feelings in both the singers and the listeners. What do you interpret that to mean? When he said religious feelings, was he talking about piety? Was he talking about actual belief in God? What do you think he was saying?
I think it's a testimony to his struggles with belief himself that he wasn't concerned with piety. He was concerned with his relationship with the Almighty. He felt he had a very intimate relationship with his God. At the same time, he couldn't take all the religion that went with it. He couldn't take all the theology and all the dogma. That's the feeling I get, because he whizzes through, he just rampages through sections of the credo, the difficult bits. But there is so much unbelievable courage and conviction in the way that he writes the music. Until the Agnus Dei, when the last movement, when there's a little ambivalence, a little ambiguity, you're not quite sure whether the peace that he's absolutely struggling and striving for, both inner peace and outer peace, is going to be granted.
And he struggles in so much of his music. I mean, that's part of what attracts us to Beethoven, is that he struggles and overcomes or resolves so very much.
But so the human.
The Agnus Dei is an amazing thing, because to put a martial sound, drums, and almost the sounds of war in an Agnus Dei, it must have been outlandish at the time. And even now, it's incredible.
It's incredibly contemporary, it seemed to me, just as when we performed the Ninth Symphony last night, when the plea was for brotherhood of man. And it just reminds me of your new re-elected president, Obama, saying, come on, guys, let's put all the sectarian differences behind us. Let's really unite. You know, it's maybe just a pious but very laudable attempt and prayer, but it's exactly what Beethoven and Schiller are about, and it makes that piece so incredibly contemporary. And this piece, the Missa Solemnis, which was written at the same time, has an equivalent appropriateness and contemporaneity about it, it seems to me, because warfare is insidious, and it's still in our society, and it's happening currently in Israel and Palestine, and it's happening still in of course in Afghanistan and in other parts of the world. And we as human beings, and particularly as musicians, have this opportunity to express this huge plea for sense, common sense, and peace above all. And this music helps us, I think.
The performance is amazing, and it's a huge work. It's a great strain for singers. They're in high ranges. These instruments are difficult to play, as you have expressed. That's part of what gives these performances of yours so much excitement. How do you come down from something like this? Audience members, you're holding up a glass of an amber liquid that you've been drinking.
That helps, you know. It's in my contract.
Well, that is good negotiating. Sir John Elliott, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It's been a thrill to speak with you and to hear this performance tonight.
Thank you so much.
Sir John Elliott Gardner backstage with us here at Carnegie Hall. You can hear things move very quickly at Carnegie Hall. You can hear the stagehands already tearing down the risers and crashing the music stands and chairs. It's a busy place. There are other performances to ready here at Carnegie Hall.
That's Jeff Spurgeon, my co-host. He's right backstage here at Carnegie Hall. Was just speaking with conductor Sir John Elliott Gardner after that performance of the Missa Solemnis by Beethoven. I'm Fred Child up in the broadcast booth here at Carnegie Hall. What a thrilling performance we've just heard. So glad to be able to bring that to you live. And a special thanks to some of the folks who helped make tonight's broadcast possible. Clive Gillinson and the staff of Carnegie Hall. For American Public Media, the technical director is Zach Rose. The managing director is Brian Newhouse. Special thanks to producer Suzanne Schaefer. For WQXR, Vice President Graham Parker. WQXR's technical team includes Edward Haber, George Wellington, Irene Trudell, and Josh Rogeson. This broadcast of Carnegie Hall Live is produced by WQXR in partnership with APM and is distributed by APM American Public Media. From WQXR and APM, this is Carnegie Hall Live.